Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.
Hello and a very warm welcome to the Racing Post Football Postcast. I'm Mark Langdon. Joining me in the studio, Racing Post colleague Ian Wilkerson, and on Skype it's James Milton, also of the Racing Post. We haven't got any Paddy Power representatives this week, so I'm going to be doing the prices. Other prices are of course available. We will get to the matches soon enough, but first of all, it was a monumental day in the Premier League on Boxing Day, completely a change in terms of the Premier League outright market. So we may as well start there. In terms of the outright prices, we've got Liverpool now 8-11, new favourites. Manchester City are 13-8, Tottenham 8-1, and it's 100-1 bar those. Ian, Liverpool, they're 6 points clear of Tottenham. Yep. They're 7 points clear of City. 8-11, a fair price, a good price, a bad price?
I wouldn't be, like you say, you know, there's a 6 point gap now. I wouldn't be that mad to get stuck in at the moment, mainly because, you know, their next two games are massive. They've got to play Arsenal and then they've got to go to City, all in the space of about 10 days. So 13-8 Manchester City would be quite attractive to me, I think, in this particular market. I just think that they're plainly having problems in the middle of midfield with the absence of Fernandinho. So I think once he's back, they'll be more settled, and I would anticipate that they could push on. And a forthcoming Liverpool wobble wouldn't be out of the question, because City are having theirs, and during the course of the season, things don't go perfectly, and I wouldn't be surprised if there was a few little hiccups along the way.
Okay, James, Liverpool unbeaten so far, so we are going to have to see a wobble if they're not to bring home their first title since 1990. What do you make of the 8-11 Liverpool? Of course, there's this massive game coming up against Manchester City that we'll discuss on next week's show, but how do you see the title picture now?
Yeah, I mean, I think that City game is the one thing that might put Liverpool backers off a little, because it's coming up so soon. But at the same time, on current form, you know, I think it could be a perfect opportunity for Liverpool. You know, you'd be surprised if they lose that game. And actually, I think that 8-11 is a pretty fair price. But you're almost looking at like those great kind of Barcelona Real title battles, where every draw is an absolute hammer blow. You know, we're halfway through the season. Liverpool have got 6 points, I think, and they're seven clear of City. So that goes to show, you know, the ground City have to make up. And Liverpool are looking pretty relentless at the moment. Conceded 7 goals all season in the league. They've won 14 out of 14 against the non-Big Six teams. So, you know, if you're a City fan, you're kind of looking at Liverpool's fixture list and thinking, how many games are they actually realistically going to drop points in? And So you know, as you mentioned, that trip to the Etihad is a monumental fixture.
Of course, Liverpool have already been to Wembley to take on Tottenham. They've been to the Emirates. They've also been to Stamford Bridge. So really, in terms of the difficult fixtures left, it is those sort of two to Manchester, I suppose, with United at Old Trafford and this massive game coming up at the Etihad.
They could, of course, get engulfed in the whole sort of like the emotion of the issue. You know, people are all... on Boxing Day, people were already cheering, dancing around because Manchester Anfield, because Manchester City had lost. You know, we could have another 3 or 4 months of this, and the pressure could build on this team. And it'd be really interesting to see how they react if they do have a little bit of a setback. And you know, whether people will start panicking, and the role of the crowd, I think, at Anfield is going to be a massive thing.
In terms of the role, I've been very impressed with Liverpool's squad players. I think that's maybe that sets them apart from City at the moment, is the fact that Shaqiri, Fabinho have come in. I mean, Lovren's probably not first choice anymore.
Kater as well.
And you know, Kater's, I'm sure, will come good. We've seen Liverpool change formation. They were 4-3-3 virtually the whole, that becomes sort of their DNA under Klopp, but they've moved to this 4-2-3-1 with Firmino behind the three forwards, and I think that's really working well for them. I think the 8-11 is probably right now. I do think that they are pretty deserving favourites. We've not even mentioned Tottenham, James. They're second in the Premier League into single figures with Paddy Power. Are they realistic contenders in your book?
I think you have to say it's a bit unlucky for Tottenham. You know, in any other season, they'd be being talked about having had a phenomenal run of form and results. And, you know, there's been so much doom mongering around them for not signing players or the stadium. Now they've got Pochettino's future. They've had an unbelievably good season, and as you say, no one's really talking about them. I suspect when it comes down to it, it is still the two horse race that the bookmakers think it is. But you have to say it's just further evidence of the terrific job that Pochettino is doing there.
I think that the issue for Spurs is they've still got to go to Man City and Liverpool. So, I mean, it's going to be a real tough ask, and Stamford Bridge as well. So they've got a lot of easy, or on paper at least, home matches to come. There's been an imbalance because of the Wembley new stadium fiasco. There's been an imbalance of home to away matches. So there are plenty of games against, that we saw against Bournemouth, for instance, but very comfortable. In terms of the top four betting, Wilco, with Spurs are now 1-16, so it looks like they can sort of be planning a trip to the Champions League again next season. Chelsea 4-11, Arsenal 9-4, Manchester United. Whisper it quietly. Manchester United, they're into 4-1. They're on a run under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Yeah. Can they finish in the top four? And if they can't, which of the two London clubs misses out?
I wouldn't want to be going mad on Chelsea at that price. I think they're very short. I've been quite impressed with Arsenal this year. At times they would... They had their moments, which they're prone to a little bit, which makes them not quite a top contender. Like we saw that against Brighton. United, we may be getting a little bit carried away by wins over Cardiff and Huddersfield, but they're playing some good stuff, definitely. You know, the handbrake's off now, isn't it? They're getting a tune. Solskjaer's getting a tune out of Pogba. I think he might settle in quite well. In a managerial position. I know people will say, oh, well, his only experience in England was with Cardiff. In a funny way, I think he might be more comfortable managing Manchester United than he would be taking on a job like the one he did at Cardiff. He socialised into the culture of the place, which is the big thing that people didn't have with Mourinho. I just think that, he's comfortable and he knows what people want. He knows what the job that he's got to do. And I do think they could push on. It might just be a little bit too much. They might just have a little bit too much work to do, but they're going to push the other two all the way.
What do you think, James?
I think they've probably got a bit too much ground to make up on. I mean, as an Arsenal fan, I'm desperately hoping for defensive reinforcements in January. I mean, some really bizarre defensive lineups in recent weeks, and the goals they conceded at Southampton were really, really poor, free headers and all sorts of so I mean, that'll be the key for them. I just think with Aubameyang and Lacazette up front in the last couple of weeks, I think they should still beating the majority of the kind of non-big six teams. But they have got tough away fixtures to come, obviously starting with Liverpool.
Sure. I mean, you mentioned Aubameyang there. James, he's 5-2 with Paddy Power in terms of the Premier League Golden Boot. I just run down the prices and how many goals they've got so far. So Harry Kane is the favourite, 9-4. He's on 12 goals. Then we've got Aubameyang at 5-2. He's on 13 goals. Mo Salah, 11-4 shot. He's got 12 goals. Sergio Aguero, 8 goals and 8-1 shot. Eden Hazard, 10 goals. He's available at 16-1. Raheem Sterling, he's got 9 goals. He's now 25-1. And then you go down to your Callum Wilsons and Martial, who are both on 8 goals. They're at 40 and 50-1, respectively. Just chuck another couple out there, maybe a few outsiders. Richarlison, 9 goals and 66-1. And Heung-Min Son, he's only got 7 goals, but really in rampant form at the moment. He's 150-1. It's quarter the odds, first three places. Unfortunately for Son, he is going away to the Asian Cup after the United game. So, James, Aubameyang leads the way at the moment. Do you expect him to hold on?
I don't quite. I mean, he's been absolutely brilliant for Arsenal. I think every week they wheel out the stats about how many goals he's been involved in his first however many appearances. You know, he took no time at all to settle, having joined in January. He's been terrific. My concern for backers of Aubameyang is, as I mentioned, Arsenal, I think they've got to play seven of the rest of the top 10 away from home. So, you know, there's going to be no gimmies there. They're starting to look a little bit disjointed. I think as an attacking player, you'd be concerned at Arsenal by the Mesut Ozil situation. Aaron Ramsey, there's talk of him leaving in January. He's obviously been frozen out a little because of the contract breakdown. So I think I'd still be inclined to lean towards the tried and tested Harry Kane. I'm not offering a particularly rock solid argument here, but just that he wants it more. We saw that last season. He was doing everything he could to cling on to that golden boot. And I just think, you know, Spurs creative players, as we've seen in the last week, are all full of beans. And even though they're sharing the goals around, I think that can only be good news for Kane as well in the long term.
I just think that, you know, him and Salah, pretty much the same, really. They're both on 12 goals. I think I'd rather be on Salah at 11-4 rather than Kane at 9-4. I'd chuck in Eden Hazard as well, 16-1 at the moment. He's playing up front for Chelsea. He's on penalties. Of course, it could change. If they bring in a Higuain or something like that in January, then maybe it all changes and, you know, Higuain starts banging in the goals for them. Ian, anyone you like to look
at? I agree with you on Hazard. I think you'd anticipate that one of those three will be the winner, but I think he's great place value. If you can still get each way a quarter to three. 16, yeah, Hazard, he's got only a couple of goals behind. Like you say, he's playing in this advanced position with Chelsea, and it's working out pretty well, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
So I don't know whether they're going to make a massive, massive change to have a big tactical. You know, if he wanted to play a big number nine, you know, he's got Giroud, isn't he? And he's not playing him that.
Doesn't fancy him,
you know,
at all.
So, you know, if that's a tactical approach you do, you know, you'd probably use him. So I think Hazard at 16-1 some each way value. If you push me on the top three, yeah, I think Harry Kane will probably get over the line.
Okay, well then, in terms of the relegation, it's pretty much bookmakers are saying any three from four.
We could send a few more down, couldn't we?
Well, yeah, I mean, so Huddersfield, they're 2-9 shots with Paddy Power. Burnley are 1-3. Fulham are 4-9. Cardiff 8-11. Then we've got Newcastle at 4-1. Southampton at 8-1. It's Brighton at 16s with Palace at 16s. 150 bar. James, where's the value? Or is it the current sort of Huddersfield, Burnley, Fulham three for you?
It's not the most thrilling heat at the moment, and you can't really see that many others getting dragged into it. But I'm tentatively looking at the 13-8 about Fulham to stay up. Actually, I've been hugely disappointed by them this season. Had lots of anti-post interest in them doing well. That's looks like it could be pretty costly. But you know, you just look at Ranieri. They finally kept a clean sheet at Newcastle. They had some great opportunities to beat Wolves in their last home game. That late equaliser was a huge blow. And obviously they're at home to Huddersfield in an absolute must win game. So, you know, I think they will beat Huddersfield. We'll discuss that later. And then suddenly it looks interesting. I just feel, looking at that squad, that there's still more scope for improvement at Fulham than Cardiff, who probably, you know, I think Neil Warnock's probably getting the absolute maximum out of Cardiff. So that would be the way to go, but it's a really tricky betting heat.
Okay, Wilco?
Yeah, I'd go along the similar sort of lines. I think 8-11 Cardiff, I would anticipate that they could slip into trouble. They're not out of the woods, definitely. 2 points from the away games would be a big concern for me, particularly when the manager was saying, oh, we could have nicked something when they conceded 31 shots against Palace the other day. I would think that they could slip down. Fulham, as James suggested, probably got a bit more scope at the bottom three to improve. Burnley are in all sorts of trouble.
I think I get the impression we talk about Fulham probably more than whatever the most popular Fulham podcast is. I don't know, was it Up the Whites or something like that? The Fabulous Fulham or whatever the podcast is for them. But you were saying to me, and you maybe Newcastle at 4-1 may not be the relegation bet, but you think there's another angle to maybe get with the against them and Rafa?
Yeah, I was seeing his interview on Match of the Day after their defeat at Liverpool on Boxing Day. I mean, I've never seen a man so deflated. I mean, this is just he was projecting the negativity that everybody has been criticising Mourinho about for months, and although admittedly, the scope that each man has had, for making moves in the transfer window, couldn't be more different. But I see that he's 25-1 to be the next manager to leave, and I think that if he has if there's an unproductive transfer window again at St James's Park, then I think he could really get the ump and then just decide to wind it up, particularly as the main people in the leading candidates in the market are people like Sean Dyche, Claude Puel, who's probably got a stay of execution now after, two great wins for Leicester over Chelsea and Man City. It's the people at the bottom, Dyche, Wagner, Warnock.
They've got enough credit in the bank.
If Burnley, Huddersfield and Cardiff can have the best chance of staying up, they're probably going to have the best chance of staying up with the blokers in the manager office. Sure. So either there might not be that many changes, mate, but 25-1 at Rafa to go and just throw it in. I'm amazed he hasn't done it already, really.
Okay. Well, we saw a change of manager worked very well, or has done so far at least, for Southampton. The Ralph Revolution with Hasenhüttl going great guns. They've won their last two matches. They take on West Ham on Thursday. It's live on Sky. The Paddy Power prices 11-10 Southampton, 12-5 the draw, 12-5 West Ham. A couple of things to throw out there. West Ham got quite a lot of injuries for this game. Six players already ruled out, and then Hernandez and Balbuena both picked up injuries in the defeat to Watford. There's also doubts over Lucas Perez and Arnautovic. So potentially a good opportunity for Southampton to get three wins on the spin. I think the best bet here actually is to back both teams to score and over 2.5 goals, because Southampton have got a lot going for them in those four positions. I think with Danny Ings, Ings can only get better the more minutes he gets on the pitch. But Nathan Redmond and Armstrong in those advanced positions are doing very well for Southampton. Just don't trust them at the back. Worst case scenario for West Ham, I think, is that it's Antonio and Andy Carroll up front. And I still think that that will be able to get a goal. Ian, I can see you sort of nodding along excitedly.
Yeah, I've got the same bet written down, mate, even money. Southampton, they've had a cultural change, haven't they, in the last couple of weeks? I mean, Nathan Redmond was talking about it after their win at Huddersfield the other day. And they've been given a massive lift. And they played really well against Arsenal. But as you say, there's a few little things at the back that are still a bit shaky. And it's a bit unfortunate for West Ham that they've got this injury situation, because I've definitely got higher expectations for them than I had last year. I think they look like a top half team. They've got a lot stronger squad than they had 12 months ago.
Even with all the players that out against Watford, it was still a pretty decent team.
They were unlucky against Watford. They had plenty of chances, didn't they?
They did.
You know, people who watch West Ham on a regular basis would say, oh, it was just a typical West Ham game and gave away a penalty and then, got down on the break, couldn't take their chances, but they're making chances. So, like you say, both teams have scored over 2.5 at even money.
Okay, and James, have you got a bet for us?
Yeah, I'm going to take your guys' analysis and run with it and go for the 2-2 draw, actually, around 10-1. I think there's been a 12-1 around. Saints have already had 2-2 draws at home to Brighton and Manchester United. And as you've mentioned, I mean, I think both sides have got plenty of attacking talent. Defensive concerns. West Ham, I think, are obviously the better side over the course of the first half of the season. But you counter that by saying, they've got key injuries. And also the Hasenhüttl effect. He's got Southampton really revved up, playing with great intensity. They scored 3 goals at Huddersfield, 3 goals, of course, at home in that win over Arsenal. So, I think there'll be plenty of goals. It looks like an absolute crack.
Who would have thought it, eh? Sacking Mark Hughes and all of a sudden Southampton start playing a little bit better. We'll be back with the Saturday games next.
Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Football Podcast. I'm Mark Langdon. Joining me in the studio, got Ian Wilkerson, and on Skype from Norfolk, we've got James Milton, who's stuffed like a turkey, I think, from overeating at Christmas. We're going to whiz through the 3 o'clock games and then get on to the really big one. It's Liverpool against Arsenal at 5:30. I'll read out Paddy Power's prices and then we'll all give a quick fire wrap and a best bet. So we've got Brighton 12-5, it's 11-10 Everton, 23-10 the draw. I thought here Everton tiny bit short for me. I'm going to go for the draw. I feel like I tip the draw every time Brighton play, but they are a difficult team to beat, particularly at the Amex, where only Spurs and Chelsea have won there. So I'm going to go for the points to be shared. Ian?
Everton, the Seagulls are strong at home, but Everton looks... They looked to be positive against Tottenham, which proved to be their undoing, obviously, like the way that they were playing, just by taking on the opposition that were too good for them and exploited their weaknesses. But they'll definitely be buoyed by their win at Burnley, where it all went to plan. So, Everton have scored two or more goals at 11-10. I think they'll be really positive.
James?
I'm going for Brighton or draw a double chance, actually. You mentioned they are awkward to play against, particularly at home. I mean, those two defeats to Tottenham and Chelsea, both by 2-1 margin. So, you know, they are very, very competitive at home. Everton, lots to like about them under Marco Silva. I just think these kind of away games, this will be a step up from that trip to Burnley. I still think they're hard to trust at shorter odds in these kind of fixtures.
Absolute relegation humdinger at Craven Cottage. Fulham at even money. Huddersfield 11-4 and it's 9-4 the draw. I mean, my sort of anti-Fulham moment lasted about a week and I'm back on the Fulham bandwagon now. I just think they're a better team than Huddersfield, and if they're a better team than Huddersfield, I think sort of evens, they've been nibbled at, they were a bit of odds against earlier on. I just think that's too big a price, really, because Huddersfield just don't score goals. They control matches and they're in games, but they've only got 12 goals. Mitrovic has got 7 on his own, so I'm going for Fulham. Ian?
Yep, ditto. Fulham look strong. They play well against Wolves before they let in that really funny bad goal, didn't they? I fancy me. Like you say, Huddersfield, 12 goals all season. Tells its own story, doesn't it?
James?
Yeah, I just think that injury to Aaron Moyes has scuppered Huddersfield. They showed a couple of glimpses of hope for that they'd stay up, but 6 defeats in a row now. Fulham have only won twice all season, but you have to look at this fixture in isolation. If they don't win this one, they really are in deep trouble. So I'm following Fulham over the cliff. Let's all get aboard the bandwagon.
We've done that more than once this season already. Leicester, they're 8-15. It's 11-2 Cardiff, 3-1 the draw. Of course, Leicester have had two brilliant results. I do think that those kind of games against Chelsea and City, they are made for, really, with their counter-attacking ability. And this will be a different type of game with Cardiff sitting in. But Leicester, they are 8-15. I think they're safe enough for the Akkers. Cardiff conceded 31 shots at Palace. Ian?
Yeah, as you say, you know, Leicester flying after those two wins. And although Cardiff's showing some resistance, their away form is poor. I like Jamie Vardy's first goal. I think he looked a couple of weeks ago, he was in the papers when everybody thought Paul was going to get to say, oh, they don't play to my style and all that sort of thing. And then he scored the most typical Jamie Vardy goal he could possibly score when he played at Chelsea. I thought he really looked like he had his sharpness back. And I think, 3-1 first goal for Vardy.
James?
You'd be slightly wary about the kind of Phil Taylor effect. I'm not a darts expert by any stretch, but I think anecdotally, whenever a kind of underdog beat Phil Taylor, he'd always go on and lose in the next round. So that would be the worry for Leicester backers at long odds on. One stat that stood out for me was under 2.5 goals has popped in 9 of Leicester's last 10 games. Obviously, the exception being that Manchester City win last time out. Cardiff, no surprise that they're going to set up to frustrate the 0-0 at Palace. So I think that could be the bet for me. It's pretty much 10-11 your choice of over-under. So not expecting a thriller there.
At Wembley, it's Tottenham against Wolves. Spurs 3-10. It's 17-2 Wolves. 4-1 the draw. It may seem like madness to take on Tottenham, given they've just scored 11 goals in their last two matches. But I thought they were pretty short, really, to win this game. Wolves can be really difficult opponents for the big teams to break down. I don't think that Fulham game suited them, where they're being asked to maybe dictate the play, and yet when they play against the big teams, they've already taken points off of Manchester City, and they beat Chelsea, and they've drawn at Arsenal, they've drawn at Manchester United. I thought they played pretty well against Liverpool as well, particularly in the first half. They're a little bit unlucky to be one down and then conceded the second goal. So I just thought the draw here was slightly big price. Just also concerned about Tottenham's midfielders. I haven't got many. Sissoko and Winks have been on the go plenty. Just wonder if he may bring in Skip, and you know that would seriously, I think, weaken Tottenham's team at the moment. They are absolutely in red hot form going forward, though. Wilco, so what's your best bet?
Yeah, I mean, the stat that grabbed me, I think, is symbolic of Spurs in that under Pochettino, they've won 11 and drawn 3 of their 14 games over Christmas and the New Year, going back in the years. You know, this is where Tottenham's fitness comes into play and they get through games. But having said that, although brilliantly they've been at thing, if you look at those games that they played again, they obviously conceded twice against Everton. And their last couple of games at Wembley, I mean, Bournemouth had a few chances.
Yeah,
they
so
created
Southampton
a few chances.
As well.
Southampton as well. They created plenty of chances as well. So I would anticipate a Spurs win, mainly because of their forward power, that I think that they can punch teams out by scoring more goals. But both teams to score, 19 to 20. I think that's quite interesting.
James?
Yeah, I like the look of splitting stakes on Tottenham 2-1 and 3-1 win. I mean, you know, as we've mentioned, Wolves have been very competitive in these high-profile fixtures. And they've certainly got enough to make an impact against the Tottenham side. They haven't really kept too many clean sheets all season, but as you say, after knocking in 11 goals in the last week, I think Spurs should have enough to win. But I think Wolves can give them a few scares. 2-1 or 3-1.
Okay, and then finally for the non-live 3 o'clock games, it's 4-5 Watford, 7-2 Newcastle, it's 5-2 the draw. I'm going to go for the draw actually in this game. I think Newcastle they haven't got any, they're just nothing up front. But I think that what Rafa specialises in is being able to stop other teams from playing, and maybe even no goal scorer could be a runner in this game. If you have a look at Newcastle's away defeats, they've only come against Man City, Liverpool and Manchester United. You, Wilco, you don't seem convinced.
Well, I mean, I pointed out earlier about what I think about Benitez and his mentality at the minute, and I think that's going to seep through into the dressing room, and I can't see things getting much better in the meantime. Watford, I think that they're a decent price here. I think they've been playing well. It's a great atmosphere at Vicarage Road. They played well against Chelsea before they gave away that mad penalty. And they could have got something from the game. I think they'll have too much for Newcastle. I think they'll win.
And James, do you fancy Watford as well?
Yeah, I'm quite keen on Watford at a shade of odds on. Actually, they've won all four of their home games against teams in the bottom eight. You know, Newcastle are never going to make it easy for them. But yeah, Watford pretty decent in that defeat to Chelsea. And I think they can continue their fine form.
Okay, and after that, of course, at 5:30, it's on BT Sport. It's Liverpool against Arsenal. One of the games of the season, I think, when these two met at the Emirates. Absolutely brilliant game. And if anything, Arsenal gave Liverpool more problems, really, than just about any other team we've seen in the Premier League this season. But Liverpool, pretty short. They're 4-9 favourites with Paddy Power. It's 11-2 Arsenal and 7-2 the draw. James, I'm expecting goals. How many, though, will Arsenal concede, do you think? Is it going to be a bit of a thrashing?
There's definitely the potential for embarrassment for Arsenal. You know, they've not been defending well all season, pretty much.
You go back more than all season, I think, James.
I've kind of wiped my memory of the last 6 or 7 seasons. But, I think it's almost been like at Fulham, where, you know, there have been so many personnel changes, injuries. They've just been unable to find a settled back four or indeed a back three. And actually, if you told me at the start of the season that at Christmas I'd be lamenting the injury to Rob Holding as a key turning, I'd have been quite surprised. But he'd really come on this season looking one of our most solid defenders. He's obviously sidelined for some time, sadly. So I'm looking at this. I think, I am buoyed by the way Arsenal played in the reverse fixture. Liverpool to win and both teams to score is 17 to 10, which looks quite a big price. I think, you know, Liverpool have been defending so brilliantly and keeping clean sheets against the lesser lights in the Premier League. With Aubameyang spearheading Arsenal's attack, they can land a blow at Anfield. But I would, I'm deeply concerned about how many goals go in at the other end.
So James is going for Liverpool to win and both teams to score. I did see a great sort of little video on, I think it was on Twitter, certainly it was on social media anyway, of it just said Liverpool fans when Van Dijk does a sidewards pass, and it's just this massive pitch invasion of everybody celebrating. So, very few teams have managed to score against Liverpool this season. What I would say, though, is that on expected goals, it is seen that they are really overachieving in that department. But what an opportunity this is to, if we consider that City are the biggest rivals, they can actually, at least for 24 hours, go 10 points clear, which would be
crazy. How could you have thought of that happening 3 weeks ago?
So yeah. What's your best bet for this game?
Well, I mean, James offered an excellent synopsis, really, and I've got the same bet that, for many of the same reasons that he's pointed out. Arsenal do look dangerous going forward, but you just can't trust that defence against a team in Liverpool's quality. So I'd expect plenty of goals as well. And like James said, Liverpool to win and both teams to score at 17 to 10 would be my way to go, I think.
I couldn't put you off. I don't think Liverpool half-time, full-time, they start quickly. Arsenal don't. But the way I was looking at it was Mohamed Salah. He's 100 to 30 to score the first goal. He's now playing as the centre-forward for Liverpool. It's either Firmino out wide or he has to drop deeper. And in recent weeks, he got the hat-trick against Bournemouth. He scored the winner against Napoli. Didn't score against Manchester United, but then he was back on target against Wolves and Newcastle. When Milner doesn't play, he's on the pens as well. So I thought he was a very worthy favourite. Should be an absolutely classic game with plenty of goals. Hopefully Salah can get the most of them, or certainly break the deadlock at least. We'll be back with a triple header of Sunday action next.
Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.
Hello and welcome to the Racing Post Football Postcast. It's the final one of 2018, and we've got a triple header of live matches and one non-live game, so four games in total. I'm Mark Langdon. Joining me in the studio, we've got Ian Wilkerson, and on Skype, we've got James Milton. The first game, Crystal Palace against Chelsea, bit of a London derby here to kick things off, noon as well. So I don't like these early kickoffs, particularly over the festive period. And if you have a look at the prices here, Crystal Palace 4-1, it's 4-6 Chelsea, and 13-5 the draw. In terms of this game, I was looking at Chelsea to win by one goal. I think that this is going to be quite a tight game. Palace don't like to open up in this type of fixture. We've seen that they can hit teams on the counter. They beat Manchester City, of course, before Christmas. But then on Boxing Day, when it comes to trying to break down a team like Cardiff, who sat back, they were unable to do so. I just think that eventually somebody like Eden Hazard will break their resistance. Wilco, what's your best bet?
Yeah, I think 4-6 is a little bit short for me for Chelsea, mainly because Palace are creating all these chances and not taking them. It was, like you say, I don't think it was the problem of breaking down Cardiff that was the issue, and they displayed this when they played Burnley a couple of weeks ago as well. It's the finishing. They can't just put the ball in the net. So Chelsea, a little bit short for me, particularly, they got the win at Watford, but I didn't think they were completely in control of the game. You've mentioned Hazard. I think he's the way to go. He's the one man who's really been a star performer for him. So he's 4-1 to be first goal scorer, or 11-10 to score at any time. I'd go that way.
Chelsea have won three away Premier League games by a 2-1 scoreline this season, so that might be an avenue you look to exploit. James, what's your best bet?
Yeah, I think, Palace have tended to keep these kind of big games at Selhurst Park really tight. I mean, they've actually only conceded 8 goals in 9 home games. So I'm edging towards the draw in the match betting. I think Chelsea will find it difficult. They had to work harder at Watford, and this looks like another trappy away test for them over this Christmas period. And as Ian's mentioned, not too many players who you'd really trust to find the net regularly in the Palace side. But Eden Hazard for Chelsea, I mean, he looks the obvious first goal scorer. But I think I'd probably, in the goal scorer markets, expecting a low scoring game. So I'd probably just stick with Hazard first goal scorer. But yeah, if you're after a bet in the match betting markets, then the draw looks a shade of value.
Okay, well, the guys aren't putting much faith in Chelsea's odds on away favourites. The second live game comes from St Mary's. It's 15-2 Southampton, 3-10 Manchester City, and 4-1 the draw. Wilco.
I don't know if I want to go mad about 3-10 City. They're going to bounce back eventually, but I think this could be quite a tough game.
Obviously,
for them.
We're speaking before Southampton have played West Ham.
Yeah,
so, a little bit less rest for the Saints, but not a problem.
I think I think that the adrenaline of the occasion will get them through it. I just think that things are going well at Southampton at the moment. They're a much better outfit than they were a month ago. They're playing a lot better. They're playing a lot more positively. So I'm just going to take a chance and say Southampton to score two or more goals at 16-5 against a team who are really struggling to keep clean sheets.
Well, it's no clean sheet in 9 in all competitions, which leads me on to my bet, which is Manchester City to win and both teams to score. We spoke earlier on the podcast about that sort of a more positive attitude from Southampton and City. For all that they're missing Fernandinho, and I don't doubt that is a reason, you also look at that left-back area, and I think it's one of concern, because Fabian Delph would probably be the man to come in and replace Fernandinho if he were to, you know, if he didn't have to fill in for Mendy at left-back. And he's suspended, so that there's a problem at left-back. Kyle Walker's not playing well at right-back. But I did see signs against Leicester of De Bruyne, just a couple of passes to Sane that were absolutely delicious. And on another day, maybe they go 2-0 up and then kick on. I think it's 3 of the last 4 games. The opposition have scored with their first shot. They've had the Ricardo Pereira absolute thunderbolt, the Andros Townsend goal of the season. So things are not going City's way at the moment. James, what's your best bet at St Mary's?
Yeah, I like that tip, Mark. Man City to win and both teams to score. You know, you really shouldn't be getting carried away with City's slump.
Head
I mean,
out.
They're set.
Fraudiola.
Examine. They set their standards so high, don't they? And as you've mentioned, you know, they've not had the rub of the green in those last 2 games. Southampton, I almost feel that this is a fixture where, you know, the new manager buzz and the intensity with which they're playing could actually work against them. I think there's the potential for kind of a bit of overexcitement there, and you know, if you do start attacking City and you know, throwing men forward and losing your shape, you know, City will punish you. So I like the look of that. Man City to win and both teams to score.
I did wonder whether Southampton may chuck this game against City and then concentrate on the game after New Year, but it's Chelsea away. So, I mean, in theory, this game's actually slightly easier. The last game of the triple header that's live on Sky Sports, 4:30, Manchester United against Bournemouth. I'm going for a big upset here. No joking about Man United winning. I think Bournemouth are a really big price. So, in terms of the match betting, it's 3-10 Manchester United, 17-2 Bournemouth, and 4-1 the draw. I know everything that people have been saying about United, and I respect the fact that they are playing with a smile on their face. Pogba's looking back to somewhere near his best. They've got goals up front with Rashford, etc., etc. But you could also say, hold on a minute, they've beaten Cardiff and they've beaten Huddersfield, and I want to see a little bit more evidence that, you know, all's well in the United camp. Because against Huddersfield, Kongolo missed a chance at 0-0. Depatra, he made a great shot, and De Gea's put in an unbelievable save when it was 1-0. And it wasn't as if Lascelles was like diving all over the place at Old Trafford and keeping United at bay. Even Neil Warnock, I know he does take a one-sided view of games, he was talking about United getting a little bit of luck in front of goal with the deflections and that kind of stuff. Whether Bournemouth are good enough, I don't know. But I thought they were really hard done by that 5-0 at Tottenham. They had chances at 0-0. There was a deflection, you know, a couple of goals outside the box. They've probably gone to Wembley at the wrong time as well. I'm not saying they're going to win. I just think that they've got the potential to make life uncomfortable. They really did outplay, if you remember the reverse game, they outplayed United for 45 minutes before eventually being pegged back and then beaten in the second half. So I'm going to go for a Bournemouth win. James, What's your best bet for this game?
I'm going for over 3.5 goals, actually. I'd certainly take your points on Solskjaer's start. I mean, you know, we don't really associate Manchester United with that, with kind of shrewd management from the owners and whoever. But yeah, they've timed this the sacking of Mourinho perfectly, given Solskjaer the best possible chance to get off to a good start against two very, very poor sides. Yeah, so they've won those games. They've also conceded in those games, and you know, conceding a goal against Huddersfield is not one for Solskjaer's CV, really. And as you mentioned, the reverse fixture. I mean, Bournemouth were terrific first half, particularly. You know, they've been creating chances throughout the season. I certainly think they can play their part in an exciting game. It'll be interesting to see. You know, for all the positive sound bites from Solskjaer. It's easy to go out and play with the shackles off when you're playing Cardiff and Huddersfield. Bournemouth, as they've shown this season, have a little bit more quality than those sides. So, you know, whether United will have to try and take a more measured approach or whether they will continue to go for it, it'll be interesting to see. But, yeah, over 3.5 goals for both teams can certainly contribute to the tally.
United are 3-10, Ian. In terms of clean sheets, just 2 in the Premier League this season. What's your best bet?
I take what you're saying about Bournemouth, and I think that it would be wrong for anybody not to be impressed by the way that they play going forward, but they've still got so many concerns at the back.
And Francis was taken off injured.
Yeah, and
well.
they've conceded more than 60 goals in each of their seasons that they've been in the Premier League. That total's starting to push up again now. They've fallen into the second half of the division. While I recognise that with players like Wilson and Fraser and Brooks, they look the part going forward. I just think they look so shaky. Steve Cook is looking like a pub player.
I was going to say shaky Steve.
You know, yeah, well, he was pretty shaky, so yeah, no one will remember that, Mark. You know, one for the teenagers. But I think United. I wouldn't be in a rush to back them at 3-10, but I was impressed with Pogba. He seems to be the one that's really been lifted by the change of management. What effect the new manager's had on that decision, I don't know. But he's playing with a lot more freedom now. And I know he's 6-1 to score the first goal. I think that's an each-way proposition.
And we'll just go back to the 2:15. There is a game that's not on Sky Sports. Be clarity everywhere. It's Burnley against West Ham. Burnley are 21-10. West Ham are 5-4. It's 23-10, the draw. Obviously, we're speaking again, much like the Southampton game, before West Ham have played that match at St Mary's. But assuming they come out of it okay, I think that they're fair enough odds against away from home. They were on a 4-game winning streak before they got beat by Watford. But actually, you know, I mean, on another day, they probably win that game on expected goals. They certainly did win the game, you know, just missed a lot of chances. So I'm going to go for West Ham. Ian, have you got a bet for this game?
Yeah, I agree. I think Burnley are in big trouble. They're not doing the things that, you know, their play was always limited when they were relatively successful in the Premier League, and now they're not doing the things that got them there. And I think there's big problems. You know, I have mentioned before that I would never say I am a fan of West Ham, but I would say that I think that they are a decent team this year, and I think they're perfectly capable of going up the Turf Moor and winning.
Hammers nailed on, James?
I wouldn't be rushing to back them. I mean, I think they're obviously a class above Burnley this season. That the tough game expected at Southampton. I'd be looking to back both teams to score, actually. Burnley have actually scored in 4 of their last 5 games. They've conceded 20 goals in 9 home games, which is astonishing compared to last season, when admittedly they looked as though they rode their luck for most of the campaign. But with West Ham's injury problems as well, Burnley can score, but I suspect West Ham will probably be too good for them.
Okay, and then after the football just keeps on coming, the games spread out across New Year's Day and also on the 2nd, and then on the 3rd, of course, we've got Man City against Liverpool, which we will discuss in greater detail next week. So, Ian, if you could give me maybe one bet from the New Year coupon, or if you've got more than one, shout them out.
I'll give you one from Tuesday and one from Wednesday.
Yeah,
how's
why not?
That? Okay, the one I like on Tuesday is probably the stronger selection of the two. Is over 2.5 goals in Everton against Leicester at 19-20. I've talked about how progressive I think both teams are looking and how positive they're playing. I think that could be a decent game. And Wednesday, banging the West Ham drum again at home to Brighton. Seagulls scored 7 away goals.
Okay.
And so, yeah, 5-6 West Ham.
Okay, well, I was looking at the both teams to score, actually, in that Everton against Leicester. 24 games between them from a combined 38 matches as we speak, and it copped in the reverse fixture. A 2-1 win for Everton at the King Power. James, you got anything for to get the new year off to a bang?
I'm not sure about a bang. I mean, you know, forget Man City, Liverpool. I'm looking at Huddersfield against Burnley. And I'm not going to be looking at that. We've been slagging both teams off throughout this show, but I just think, you know, looking at Huddersfield, 11-10 to beat anyone at the moment, that has to be taken on. So Burnley will draw double chances. I mentioned Burnley are at least scoring goals, which Huddersfield aren't. So I think Burnley avoid defeat there, and that's selling placer of a Premier League.
Yeah, pitch. I mean, it's absolutely huge game, that has to be said, at the bottom, one where they'll both be feeling like they need to win. Is there anything in the outside the Premier League from this weekend's matches that caught the eye, James? Or have you only been focusing on the Premier League? It's fine if you have.
I've got a couple in the Championship, actually. I'm currently sitting a Brian Gunn goal kick away from Carrow Road, so I'm going to have to go for Norwich against Derby. I mean, Norwich obviously buoyed by that late comeback to draw with Nottingham Forest. You know, they have been playing very, very well all season long. I think they can get another important 3 points. And another couple to look at for your Akers. Sheffield United at home to Blackburn and QPR, who are going great guns at home to Reading.
Yeah, I find the Championship tends to be a bit of a minefield, so I'll drop down a further section and go into League One. Scunthorpe not scored in their last 6 games. I think they're vulnerable against Wickham, who are 7-5 to win there. And although Barnsley are undefeated at home, I think Charlton are looking strong. They've had a couple of away games against Blackpool and Coventry where they've lost to late goals. They're looking like potential promotion candidates. So I'll take them 11-5 on a draw no bet if Lyle Taylor's toe injury holds up.
When in terms of Scunthorpe, we've got absolutely loads of injuries at the moment. A game to look out for on New Year's Day, it's Luton against Barnsley. Forget anything that's going on in the Premier League. In the Langdon household, I'll, by hook or by crook, I'll be following that game and that game only. Absolutely massive for the anti-post on both teams, really. So could do without a draw. I think in terms of what I like outside the Premier League, I was at Millwall versus Reading on Boxing Day. And I thought Millwall were pretty poor, even though they won the game 1-0 eventually against 9 men. Nottingham Forest, for all that they chucked it away against Norwich, they did find themselves 3-0 up. It's a bit like when they drew 5-5 Aston Villa. Actually, the point's not a bad one. It's just the way that it kind of went about for them. But I think that on the draw no bet coupon, I think I'd be looking at Forest to definitely get a positive result. And now it's time for this.
This will not be beaten.
For the final time of 2018, Ian Wilkerson, what is your nap for the weekend matches?
Fulham to beat Huddersfield. I think, as we said during the game, that they showed a lot of progression when they played Wolves. Huddersfield, 12 goals all season. Can't see them getting anything down at Craven Cottage, even money.
James?
I'm actually taking on Wilco's Charlton shout. I'm going for Barnsley to beat Charlton in that big game in League One. Barnsley unbeaten at home all season in the league. And Charlton, I think, just could be a bit deflated by that late goal they conceded at Coventry.
Go on the Tykes. It was a great result for everybody else in League One when Pompey surprisingly beaten by Gillingham. It really has opened it up for Barnsley or Luton or maybe Sunderland as well if they just on expected goals. Sunderland are doing terrible at the moment. I'm going to go to Italy where they're a bit like in England. They're playing all over Christmas and Roma to win at Parma. Parma did get a victory at Fiorentina on Boxing Day, but they lost a shot count 34-6 despite Fiorentina playing with 10 men. Roma, that they won 3-1 against Sassuolo on Boxing Day. If you haven't checked out the goal from Zaniolo on YouTube, then please do. It's an absolute beauty. But more important than that, we saw Perotti, Dzeko, Elshawari and Pellegrini all return to the squad. They've really been suffering with injuries this season, Roma. I'm expecting them to kick on. Now they're back. They can win away at Palmer. So the naps are, we've gone for Fulham, we've gone for Barnsley, and we've gone for Roma. And don't forget, if you enjoy listening to these shows, we've got a racing podcast every Monday and Friday, and we'll be back for more football action on Thursday. It says here, with the return of Bruce Millington for the FA Cup third round, and also that absolute monumental game at the Etihad, it's Manchester City against Liverpool. Until then, Happy New Year, and we'll speak soon.
Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.